Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Tomorrow's daf is Yevamos daf Kuf Chav Beis. We are holding on daf Kuf Chav Aleph and Beis, three lines from the end of the page, at the two dots, Hahu Ovid Chavim. Today's share is sponsored by lots of people. First, Dr. David Lander and honor his wife and children. Also by Mindy and Henry Olinsky, Lizecha Nishmas, Henry's mother, Rachel Leah, by Schaim Ashra Cohen, who survived Auschwitz and Bergen-Belsen, lost her family, but rebuilt generations of Shomrei Torah and Mitzvos, from Yerushalayim to Beit Shemesh, from Modi'in to Passaic, Bergen County, and Lakewood. Also by Misha Feldman, in memory of the fourth yard site of his wife Donna Feldman, which was Sunday the 4th of Tammuz, for Donna Pesia, Bas, Shmuel, Yaakov Zev, Neshama Shev, and Aliyah. Also sponsored anonymously with Zchus Rufus Shlema for Esther Bas Sara. Also by the Psachim boys, a chavrus of three Talmidim from BMT, who thank the Shir and are grateful for many reasons they did not call themselves the Yevamos boys, on to Ksubis. And also by Rabbi Yisrael Moshe and Rebbetzin Shoshana Sif, in honor of their parents and their children. Thank you to our parents for giving us such special Torah life, and thank you to our children and grandchildren for Bli Ayin Hara, bringing so much nachas. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we are there, the very last daf of Maseches Yevamos. You know, in case you thought that there are a lot of things you could do in 4 months, but finishing Yevamos is not one of them, here we go. It looks like we'll be able to do it. Be'ezra Hashem. So first thing we're going to discuss is we're going to continue with stories where we do or don't rely on a nachri that is Masiach Lefi Tumo about the death of a person. Then the Mishnah is going to talk about trusting a baskol about the death of a person and what exactly the role of a baskol is and the ne'emonus of a baskol is. Then the following Mishnah is going to have discussions about women getting remarried al pi ein echad. Was it always so obvious that you can trust an ein echad that the husband has died, or is it not so obvious? Then the last Mishnah on the page is going to talk about the story of trusting a pundakis about a man's death. Few people left a friend behind by an inn, and then they asked the innkeeper on the way back, hey, where's our friend? And she said, oh, he's dead, and I buried him. So are you allowed to trust her? And what does that tell us about trusting people in general about somebody's death? And that will bring us almost to the very end of the Masechta. And then the very last line of the Masechta is going to be a familiar line that we have in other Masechtas as well, just to end with something more cheerful. So let's begin with the Gemara, three lines from the bottom of the page. Ha'u avicham davakam le'li Yisrael, ketolas pasta v'shadi l'chavayi b'shabata. So a Nachri told the Yisrael, an avicham told the Jewish person, I want you to cut down some stubble or some animal fodder from the ground and feed my animals on Shabbos. V'ilo, and if you don't listen to me, katilna lach kedekatilna l'ploni bar Yisrael, I'll kill you the same way I killed the last Jew who refused to listen to me. Da'am relay, because I told this last Jew, b'shili k'der b'shabbos, that he should cook for me a pot of food on Shabbos, v'lo bashili, and he didn't do it, v'katilte, and I killed him for it. So Shama Debitu, the wife of that other Jew that this fellow was referring to, heard this Nachri, this Ovid Chavim, tell the story, and she asked Abaye, nu, now am I allowed to get remarried, now that a Nachri has certified, an Ovid Chavim has certified, that he has in fact killed my husband? The Be'er Agra and Ebenezer and Simeon and Zion writes that this Maisa is the source for the din, that he Yisrael who hears a Nachri Masiach Lefi Tumo is Neman for Eidos. That if you hear a Nachri be Masiach Lefi Tumo, he's Neman for Eidos even if it's Eid Mi Pi Eid. Meaning the fact that he's Neman is one thing if it's a Masiach Lefi Tumo. But even if you didn't hear it directly from the Nachri, you only heard it Eid Mi Pi Eid. You only heard it on hearsay, that's good enough also. Because the story must be, says the Gra, or the Gra assumes, not that the woman overheard this conversation, but that after this conversation happened with the Ovid Chavim threatening the guy, that guy went and told this woman, you know this Ovid Chavim killed your husband? He told me that he killed your husband. So she only heard it on hearsay, and she was ready to believe it, and she went to Abaye to ask a Shaila whether she's allowed to get remarried. Shahaisa, so Abaye kept her waiting, Tolosa Rigli, for three Regalim until all the Chachamim would get together, because they would, around the times of the Regalim, they would get together to Darshan about Inyanim of the Regel. So he wanted to discuss this with the other Talmidei Chachamim. So Amalar Avad Barava, he said, go to Rav Yosef, because Rav Yosef is such a charif, he has such a sharp mind in Svara, so go ask the Shaila to him, which is very fascinating. Rav Yosef is the one that's a Charif. We know that there are two models of Talmidei Chacham. The Gemara in the end of Horios tells us there is a Sinai and there is an Oker Harim. Rabba was a Sinai. Rabba was an Oker Harim. Rav Yosef was a Sinai. Rav Yosef was a person who was a tremendous Baki, but he was not known as a Charif. He was not known as a person of tremendous sharpness. So that's what the Sefer Yashar Yaakov asks. That the Gemara in Brachos of Samach Dalit also tells Rav Yosef was a Baki. He was not a Charif. So a few different approaches. The Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that he was less Charif than Rabba was, but he was more of a Charif than other people, other Chachamim of the generation. Meaning he was no slouch in Lamdus. It was just that he was a tremendous Baki, and he wasn't as penetrating a Lamdan as Rabba was, but he was still quite a Charif. Rabbi Yaakov Emden additionally says that maybe he was a Charif in the sense that there are different types of Charifos. There's a Charifos where you have penetrating analysis, and then there's Charifos of quickness of mind, where someone asks, and right away he's on it. Right away, he's able to pull up a maramakum. So that's also a form of charifos. And the Rif and the Rush have just a different girsa over here. They have a girsa where it's not Rav Yosef, and that would solve the problem. Karban Asanel says, yeah, that makes a lot of sense that it's not Rav Yosef, because Rav Yosef was not a charif. So anyway, this woman had this shayla. She allowed to believe this Ovid Chavim that claims to have killed her husband. So Azal Kameh, she went to Rav Yosef, Pashat Mehad Mehomas Nisa. And he answered based on the following brisa. Ovid Chavim Shayim. You have another chavim that's selling peros in the shuk, and he's bragging that the peros are arla, that they're from a tree in the first 3 years, and he thinks he's saying something good about the fruits, that it's from a young tree that still has so much kochos to it, it's not from an old, worn down tree, so he's trying to sell the peros. He doesn't realize that by saying that they're arla, it means that they're asr bahana'a, because the first 3 years, the fruits that grow from a tree are asr bahana'a. Or he says, shalazika hain, they're from a place called Azika, which grows such beautiful fruits. Thing is, that's a place in Eretz Yisrael, which means that it's going to be chayiv in Shuvos Maisos. Or Shol Netaravai Hain, he says that these fruits are Netaravai. Again, he's trying to say it's from a young tree, it's only the fourth year since the tree was planted, but he doesn't realize that that means that those fruits can only be consumed in Yerushalayim. So Lo Amar Klum, we do not believe him to Aser buying those payrolls. So Lo Niskabin Lashbiach Mitchel, because we assume that all he's trying to do is make it sound good. So we see that that's not called a Masiach Lufituma, that you believe a person. Because when a person is just trying to say something because of his own self-interest, he's trying to make a point that will benefit him, that's not called a Masiach Lufituma, or you're going to believe him. So Rav Yosef was saying, who had in over here? Why was this Ovid Chavim claiming to have murdered this woman's husband? Because he was trying to show, I mean business. He was trying to tell this guy, you better cut this food for me and feed it to my animals on Shabbos, because the last guy that didn't listen to me, I killed. So it was for his own self-interest that he made such a statement. And therefore, it does not have the din of Masiach Lefitumo, and he's not believed, and the woman is not allowed to get remarried. So the Gemara quotes other stories of Nachum that are Masiach Lefitumo, and we do believe them. Abi Yudanish Saidon Omar, Maisa be Yisrael Vavicham Shalcha Baderach, once Yisrael and Vavicham were walking on the road, Uba Vavicham Vamar, Chaval Yehudi Shayimi Baderach, Shemes Baderach Ukavartiv, Visi Wishto, that he said that it's Chaval about this person, this Jewish person that was with me, and he died, and I had to bury him. And based on that alone, they were willing to allow his wife to get remarried. There is a Machlokesh Rishonim, whether the line Ukavartiv, that word Ukavartiv, is critical over here. Does he have to have claimed to bury him, or does he just have to claim to say that I saw the fellow die, and he's already believed with Masiach Vitumo? So the Rashba writes that even though the Gemara says Kavartiv, because that's what the guy said, but it just happens to be the Maisa Shahaya, but that's not a necessary component of this story, whereas the Ritva quotes, Ashitas HaRambam, that the guy is only Neman if he says Kavartiv. It's not that he would be lying if he says that he saw the fellow die, but we don't trust that he was sure that the fellow died. That maybe he was medame, that he thought in his mind that, yeah, there's no chance, he's not going to survive. Only if he claims to have buried him as a Masiach Lefituma, only then can we be certain that the fellow was in fact dead. So that is the Machlokas Rishonim, how to understand whether Kevartiv is necessary over here. Another Maisa, where a guy is Masiach Lefituma, Vishuv Maisa B'Kolash Adonai Adam, there was a Chabura of people, Shayim Ahalchin La'Antuchia, they were going to Antuchia, which is a city in Eretz Yisrael. Above you have Mechon Omar, Chaval al Kol Hashal Bnei Adam Shemesu Kvartim. And over you said, I saw this whole chevra of people traveling, and they all died. I had to bury all of them. V'yisius Nashosayim, and they allowed their wives to get remarried based on his say so. So what does this add that the previous story did not teach us? So the Aruch Haner says that there's a reason the Gemara is quoting this story, that he's no longer testifying about one person. He's now saying about a whole group, and we believe him about the entire group. One might have thought that if he's testifying about a whole group, maybe he didn't really check to see that each and every one of them were dead. Maybe he just saw a few dead bodies and assumed, yeah, they're probably all dead. So that's the Kamash Malan over here, that we're allowed to believe him even about an entire group. And another Maisa. V'shuv Maisa b'shisha b'nei Adam shayim ha'achon l'karkom Beitar. There were 60 people traveling to Beitar, which was at the time under siege. Ubao vilchav va'amar chaval shish me'adam shaymalchem b'derech beitar shemesu kvartim. All 60 of these people died, and I buried them. V'yisius nashoseim, and based on his say so, they allowed the wives to get remarried. The Aruch Haner says, well, what does this add? So what this meaning that we didn't get from the previous stories? Of course, you're allowed to believe him. Why is it any different than the last story? So the Aruch Haner says because it was a time of melchama. So it could be that he's not going to be so careful. He'll be somich on the fact that it's a time of melchama and it's dangerous, and therefore assume that everybody's dead, even if everybody is not confirmed dead. And that's why Kamash Mulan, that we are able to believe him if he says that I buried all 60 of these folks, of these people who were killed. So now on to a new Mishnah. Again, still discussing what you need, what level of evidence you need to know that a man is dead and that his wife is allowed to remarry. Mi'idin la'oraner la'or halavana, if a person saw the dead body, but only at candlelight or only with the light of the moon, that's good enough. He can testify that he saw that the person had died. Umasin alpi baskal, a woman is allowed to get remarried based on a baskal that that called out that that a person had died. Tos Yomtov discusses, really baskal? A baskal is enough? Tos Yomtov raises the question. Remember that sugi of Tanur Shel Achnayi in Maseches Bamitzia, right, where the Gemara discusses a whole machlokas about the tumah status of a certain type of tanur, and Rabbi Lazar was aided by Simanim in Hashemayim that he was correct, and then Baskel came out and said that you have to listen to Rabbi Lazar because he's he's such a big Talmud Chacham and a tzaddik. So the Gemara's conclusion was that lo b'Hashemayim he ain mashkichin b'Baskel. We don't listen to a Baskel, and yet when it comes to being matir neishas ish, all of a sudden we're going to listen to a Baskel. So it's difficult to understand why that would be the case. So the Tos Yomtov says very simply, the Baskel over there was a heavenly voice. Over here, it was just a voice that came, and we didn't know who said it, but it was a voice. It's like you're walking down a crowded street, and someone calls out your name, and then you look behind you, and you can't see who it was that was calling out your name. You don't just assume it was a voice from heaven, meaning it was somebody. It was just that you don't know who it was. That's the baskal we're referring to over here. The Aruch Haner explains that, no, we're assuming over here, like Shitas Beis Hillel, that you do listen to a baskal. And we're allowed to listen to a baskal. It's just that in the case of Tanur Shel Achnayi, it was a baskal going against a rove, that you don't listen to a baskal when it goes against the rove. So anyway, you're allowed to let a woman get remarried based on a baskal, says the Mishnah. And Maisa Be'achat Shabbat al Rosh Ahar, one time a guy was standing on top of a mountain, Va'omar, Ish Plani Ben Plani Makam Plani Beis, and he announced a particular person had died, Holch V'lo Matzu Shamadim. So they went to investigate the matter further to see if they could find the person who was testifying, and they couldn't find anybody. V'yisiu Hazishto, and they allowed the wife to get remarried based on that say-so of this person, this anonymous person who cried out from the top of a mountain. So it's interesting because it sounds like we pass in this way lahalacha, that we let a woman get remarried based on a baskal. However, the Rambam in the 13th paragraph of the Skirishin paskins lahalacha only like the second maisa, that where they found the person, but the person's body had changed. Not this, which we'll see in a moment, but not this maisa where they didn't find anybody, because he says he seems to assume we do not rely on a baskal. So that's an interesting discussion about why the Rambam assumes that way. So what's the second Maisa that the Rambam indeed does paskin? Vishuv Maisa B'Tzalmon. There was a Maisa in a place in Eretz Yisrael. Be'echot Shomer Ani Ish Ploni Ben Ish Ploni Nashcheni Nachash Harein Ani Meis. A guy announces, I am Ish Ploni Ben Ish Ploni, and I've been bitten by a snake, and I'm about to die. V'holcha V'lo Kiruhu. And they went and to see who was the speaker, and they saw a dead body there, but because he was bitten bitten by a snake. He must have been bitten on his face or something. They couldn't recognize, he was unrecognizable, but they allowed the wife to get remarried based on his calling out, his self-identification prior to his patira about who he was. So it says, Mara Amr, Bar Shmuel Tana, Beishame, Omrim, Ein, Masiyin Al-Pi Paskal, Beishilul Omrim, Masiyin Al-Pi Paskal. Beishame says, we do not allow someone to get remarried based on a Baskal claiming that the husband is dead. Beishilul says, yes, we do allow a person to get remarried based on a Baskal saying that the husband is dead. My Kamash, what is Rabbi Bar Shmuel teaching me? What? That Beishilul says you're allowed to listen to a Baskal? We already have a Stam Mishnah that says you're allowed to listen to a Baskal. So by telling me that Beis Hillel holds you're allowed to, and Beis Shammai holds you're not allowed to, it's just another way of saying that you're allowed to listen to a Baskal. But I already know you're allowed to listen to a Baskal. The Mishnah said so. So the Masnisin he. So it says Marna Haka Mashulan. Di Mishtakach Stama Dein Masihin Beis Shammai he. In case you find another Stam Mishnah or Brisa somewhere that says that you're not allowed to let a woman get remarried based on a Baskal, now you have context for that, and you can know that that must have been authored by Beis Shammai or by the Talmidim of Shammai. So once you have that context to know who the author of such a statement is, you'll know to reject such a Mishnah or such a Braisa from the Halacha, and it won't cause any confusion in terms of how to paskin. The Aruch Lener raises the question that still it's difficult to understand what was Rabbi Bar Shmuel's Chiddush, because even if we would find a Braisa that would say that you're not allowed to let a woman get remarried based on the Baskol, that would be a Braisa against our Stam Mishnah, you still wouldn't be enticed to say we paskin like that Braisa. Mehechitesi, you'd ever paskin like a Braisa against a Stam Mishnah. Our Stam Mishnah follows the Beis Hillel. So what's the Chiddush in telling me that Beis Hillel goes like our Stam Mishnah, and therefore you paskin that way? Of course you paskin that way. So he says that had it not been for Rabbi Bar Shmuel, we would have made a mistake to say that the Braisa that says not to listen to a Baskol is a sheet of Rabbi Yeshua, who holds Ein Mashkichin Bebaskol in Bab Metzia Dafnun Tes in the Sugya of Tanur Shalachim, and that our Mishnah maybe is going like Rabbi Eliezer, meaning maybe our Mishnah, the Stam Mishnah that says you listen to a Baskal, is from the Shamute, is from the Talmidim of the Beis Shammai. That's maybe our Mishnah. And if you find some other Brisa that says you're allowed to listen, that you're not allowed to listen, you'll assume that that's Rabbi Yoshua in Bava Metzia Daf Nun Tes. So that's why Rabbi Bar Shmuel has to be mechadish to us that no, Beis Hillel holds, and the way we paskin is that, and our mission is Beis Hillel, that you're allowed to listen to a baskol to be Messiah and Isha. V'holchav lo matzu. So then the Mishnah went on to say that they went to investigate the baskol and they couldn't find anybody there. So frak the Gemara, how can you let a woman get remarried if you can't find who it was? V'dim l'sheid hava. Maybe it was a demon that was there. So Amar Bidom Rav, Sharo lo dumos adam. They saw that it had the form of a human being, so they know it wasn't a demon. So in Unami Damu, so it says Gemara, but a shape can also take on a human form. No, the Chazle Bavua, they saw a shadow or a reflection, and a shade doesn't have a reflection. Vinunami Yisul Bavua, sure they do. They have a reflection also. The Chazle Bavua, the Bavua. No, they saw the shadow of the shadow. It's a Machlokas Rishonim. What that means exactly? Pashtos is it means, some Rishonim say it means that like when the sun is in a certain position, your shadow is not taller than you. So that's a regular shadow. But when, you know, early in the morning or later in the afternoon, the sun is in such a position where your shadow is much, much taller than you. So maybe that's what we mean, the shadow of the shadow, a shadow that's much taller. Or sometimes you have like a dark part of your shadow and then an area around that that's a lighter part of the shadow. Maybe that's the bavua de bavua. Vidilu du is the bavua de bavua. So says Gemara, but maybe a shade also has such a bavua de bavua, and therefore maybe it in fact was a shade. So I'm Rabbi Chanina, Amrli Yonah son Shida, Bavua Islu Bavua Bavua Leslahu. Yonah son Shida told us that they have a shadow, but not a shadow of a shadow. Who is Yonah son Shida? Meaning you're going to trust a shade to tell you such a halacha? And also, if it was a shade, why would he say Islahu? He should say Islanu. Right? We have, right? He's part of the community of Shadim. So that Rashi says that some say he was a shade, others say that he was an expert in Shadim, that he knew how to, he was a whatever. He was a Ghostbuster or something, right? He was an expert in the all my pop culture references are dated. He was an expert in the world of shade. And the Aruch Haneri raises a question. Then if he was a shade, he should have said Bavu Islanu. And if he was not a shade, it's just not mistaper that we would call someone who's not a shade a shade. We'd call him Yonasan Shida. So the Aruch Haneri says that. What does the Aruch Haneri say? He explains that he didn't that he was his son, and Shida is not part of that phrase. Meaning, Amar li Yonasan. Yonasan told me Shida bavua islu bavua de bavua leslu. You got to move the comma over. It wasn't Yonasan Shida said. It was Yonasan said, and he didn't call him Rabbi Yonasan because it was his son. The son's name was Yonasan. He doesn't have to call his son Rabbi. So he said Yonasan told me Shida bavua islu bavua de bavua leslu. Okay. So it says we're Dilma Tzara Havai. But still, how do you know that you can trust the anonymous person that screamed out from the top of the mountain? Maybe it was a Tzara of this wife, of this woman. Maybe it was a co-wife, and that's one of the nashim that are not believed at Meis Baila. So, Tanda Be'Rishol, B'Shas HaSakana, Kosim Nosen, Af Pisha in Makirin. Well, B'Shas HaSakana, you're allowed to give a get and write a get and give a get based on the husband's command, even if you don't know 100% who it is. So, over here also, you're allowed to trust this Paschal, even though you don't know 100% who it is, even though there is some measure of risk that it might have been a Tzara, that it might have been a co-wife who's just trying to mess her up. New Mishnah. Rabbi Kiva, Kishirati Lenardo Laber Shana. Rabbi Kiva said, when I went to Narda to be Ma'aber the Shana, and this is an interesting discussion also, what was Rabbi Kiva being Ma'aber Shana in Narda? You're supposed to be Ma'aber the Shana only in Eretz Yisrael. So the halacha is that the Gemara tells us in Mesechus Brachos that Rabbi Kiva's Lo Iniach Kamoso Beretz Yisrael. And whenever you're Lo Iniach Kamoso Beretz Yisrael and you can't be in Eretz Yisrael, and you are the greatest sage in the world, then you're allowed to be Ma'aber the Shana even in Chutz Laretz. Problem is, the Sefer Doros HaRishonim points out that Rabban Gamliel makes an appearance in this story, and that's problematic because Rabban Gamliel died before Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua died, and they were Rabbi Akiva's rebellion. Whoa, so wait a second. If Rabban Gamliel makes an appearance later in the story, and Rabban Gamliel died before Rabbi Akiva's rebellion died, it's hard to say that Rabbi Akiva was Chad Bedara, that he was the greatest and leading scholar of his generation. His rebellion was still alive. So that's a problem that you have to figure out historically, how this happened, that Rabbi Akiva was able to be Ma'aber Shana in Arda. So anyway, he said, when I was doing that, Matzasi Nechemia Ishbeistali, Amrli Shamati Shemasi Nasi Shaber Tzol, Bielechon. I was having a conversation with Nechemia Ishbeistali, and he told me that he heard in Eretz Yisrael they don't allow a woman to get remarried based on the testimony of one man, Ella Rabbi Ben Baba, other than Rabbi Ben Baba, is the only scholar that allows a woman to get remarried based on one person's testimony. And I told him, Ken Advarim, it's 100% correct. In Eretz Yisrael, it's only Rabbi Ben Baba that allows it. No one else allows it. So Amar Li, he said to me, Emar Lahem, Mishmi, I want you to tell them in my name. Atem Yodim Shemadin Mishmashus Bekiyosos. You know that it's dangerous to travel right now. There are soldiers all over the roads, and therefore I can't come to Eretz Yisrael to tell you this myself. But I'm sending this message. Mikublani Ram Gamliel Azakin Shemasina Sishal Piedecha, that I have a Kabbalah from Gamliel Azakin, that a woman can get remarried based on the testimony of Eid Echad. Ukshabasi Veritesi Hadvar Lefiram Gamliel Samach Lidvari. And when I reported this back to Ram Gamliel, remember we said Ram Gamliel makes an appearance in the story? When I reported this back to Ram Gamliel, he was overjoyed to hear this Eidos. And Amar Matzanu Chaber to Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba. Oh, he said that we found someone else who holds like Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba that you're allowed to believe an Eid Echad about the death of a husband. Mitoch Hadavar Nisgar Ram Gamliel. And based on that episode happening, Ram Gamliel remembered Shenergu Arugim Betel Arzav Yisi Ram Gamliel Nashosayan Al Pi Eid Echad, that he remembered that people were killed in a certain place in Eretz Yisrael. There was only one aid about their death, and Ram Gamliel Hazakein allowed their wives to get remarried based on Eid Echad. So he realized that this was in fact an old tradition that they had to be Masih al-Pi Eid Echad. V'huch skulios Masih in Eid mi-Pi Eid, mi-Pi Evin, mi-Pi Yishon, mi-Shivcha. Not only that, we trust testimony even if it's hearsay, even if it's a woman who testifies, even if it's a Shivcha who testifies, to allow the woman to get remarried. Rabbi Lazar Bishua Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shua say, no, Nerechon is not good enough. Rabbi Kiva Omer, lo al pi Isha, lo al pi Yevra, lo al pi Shivcha, lo al pi Krovim, that an Isha's testimony, an Eved's testimony, a Shivcha's testimony, a relative's testimony is not good enough. Implying that Rabbi Kiva holds at least that an Eid Echad, a male Eid Echad's testimony would be good enough. So now the Gemara asks on Rabbi Kiva that we don't trust Eidos Isha. The sub Rabbi Kiva, al pi Isha lo? Does Rabbi Kiva really hold that we don't trust a woman to testify that a man had died? Vatani Mishum and Elazar Omer, Mishum Rabbi Akiva, Isha Ne'emenes Lahavi Gita, that a woman is believed to bring her get from Medina Sayyam, even though that's going to require that she certifies it as Bifane Nechtav or Bifane Nechtav. And if she doesn't say that statement, then the get is invalid. So don't you see that we do believe in Isha? Mi kal v'chomer, and we make the following kal v'chomer. Uman, nashim shomer chamnei ne'man aslamar meis baile ne'man aslavi giteyen. If even those five women that are, we assume, are biased and are not believed to say that a woman's husband died, are ne'eman to bring the get, so Zu, the woman herself, ne'eman aslamar meis baile, who is believed to say that her own husband has died, and in addition, ne'eman aslavi gita is also believed to bring her get. But what do you see from this story? That Nashim, from this argument, he said that the argument was called the Chomer, that if even those rare women that are not believed to say a husband died are believed to bring a get, those rare women that are not believed to say that a husband died, that implies that that's rare, that all other women in the world are believed to say that a husband died. Just the formulation of the Kal V'Chomer suggests that normally women are believed to say that a husband died. So Nashim Shomer Chamudula Mehemni Barish V'Alma Mehemna. You see that it's only women that the Chacham said, only those five women that the Chacham identified that are not believed, but other women would be believed. Says Rav Lokasha, Kan Kodem Shechziku, Kan Achra Shechziku. Yeah, this was an ongoing conversation throughout the generations, and they changed their mind at some point. So the conversation may have happened initially before they were trusting in Isha. That was Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah. But Rabbi Akiva over here was after they decided that they're going to trust in Isha. Okay, says the Mishnah now. Amar lo ma'isim ne'levi sholchul tzorir atzmarin. The Chum told Rabbi Akiva there was a story of Bnei Levi that went to Tzorir atzmarin, the city in Eretzal, v'chala echad mehem, and one of the chevra got very sick, v'viu b'pundak, and they brought him to an inn, and they left him there. U'b'chazrasim amar lo pundakis, and on the way back they said to the innkeeper, what happened to our friend? So Nomis Lahem Mesu Kvartiv. She said, oh, he died and I buried him. V'isiwis Ishto. And they allowed his wife to get remarried based on the Pundakis, based on the innkeeper, certifying that he was dead. So says the Gemara, the Chum said to Rabbi Akiva, you want to tell me that we do not believe a woman to claim that her husband had died? V'lote Kohenes Kepundakis. An able Erlicha Jewish woman is not going to at least have the Manus of a Pundakis. The Pundakis is some random innkeeper, and we're willing to trust her that a man had died, but you're not going to trust a regular Jewish woman, an honest, sincere Jewish woman, that a man had died? It doesn't make any sense, right? You agree that in this story they trusted the Pundakis. So Amar Lahem, Rabbi Kiva responded to the Chum, L'kishiteku Pundakis Ne'emenes. If an Erlich, a normal, regular Jewish woman, could have all of the qualities that this Pundakis had, then in a Chinami, I will believe her. You can't bring a Raya from this Pundakis. Why? What qualities did she have? What made her more believable than a regular person? She produced for them his personal items, his walking stick and the Sefer Torah that he had, and therefore they trusted her. A regular woman would be ne'emenes if she was masichah lefituma, but if a woman comes to give edus, we would not accept her edus, even if she's a Jewish woman. So Rabbi Kiva is saying a masichah lefituma was believed. So this woman is considered like a masichah lefituma. But when I say that you don't believe a woman, that's to say that a man had died. That's a woman who's coming to b'toras edus. She's coming with testimony. So says Gemara, Maigrius of the Padak. You know, the tone of the Mishnah seems to be somewhat disparaging of the Pundakis. We're saying, you're not going to trust a Jewish woman as much as you trust this lowly Pundakis? What's wrong with being a pandaka? Is being an innkeeper such a bad thing? Like, what's wrong with this woman that we're saying that that even she's believed? So Rav Kana pandaka, so of it's chav ma'isa. She wasn't Jewish. That was the point. Masich l'fitum ma'isa. All she was masich l'fitumo. Zema kalu zetem ilzakav shakavartibo. And she said, oh, by the way, here's his stick. Here's his your friend's stuff. Here's his personal items. And that's where I buried him. So it's totally masich l'fituma. That's the point, that she was a nachris. She was not vedeschav masich l'fituma. Zemech al zetem ilzakav shakavartibo. That's how they understood this ma'isa. What do you mean she was Masicha Lefituma? She was responding to a question. They asked, where's our friend? So she's responding to a question. That's not Masicha Lefituma. That is making a positive statement. Oh, you want to know where he is and you're relying on me to tell you. That's not Masicha Lefituma. Masicha Lefituma means you just happen to be talking. You happen to be schmoozing, telling a story. So No. She started the conversation. How did she start the conversation? Not with words. She started the conversation by expressing emotion. They came, she was crying, she was bawling, and they said, what's the matter? Where's our friend? And then she responded, well, that's exactly why I'm crying. He died, here's his stuff, I buried him. So that's considered that she's Masiach Lefituma, even though she didn't start the conversation with words, she only started the conversation by being expressive of her emotions. One time a person came to be made about a woman in front of Rabbi Tarfon that her husband had died and she can get remarried. So Amalah, Rabbi Tarfon said, "Bini, heichati yodei beidus yishazu? What did you see exactly?" Meaning, now the Gemara is going to get into, I forgot to mention this before, and when I previewed the daf, the Gemara is going to get into how much questioning do we have to do of people that come and say, "We know you believe in Eid Echad, you believe in Isha, you believe." I get it, but do you have to question them at all? Do you have to ask, like, what are the details? What did you see? How do you know the person is dead? Do you do drush v'chakiras? What color clothing was he wearing? What time was it? What day was it? Right? And what exactly do we need? What level of questioning do we need? So that's what the Gemara is going to discuss. So Rabbi Tarfon said to the guy, "How do you know this edus?" So Amar ani v'hu. He says, "Well, I and this now dead man, you know, we're traveling on the road, guys, and we're being chased by soldiers, and he grabbed a branch of an olive tree, and he pulled it off of the tree, he used it as a weapon, and he chased those who were chasing us, he chased these soldiers back, and I said to him, Arya Yasher Kochacha, you lion," not that his name was Aryeh, is that you're a lion, you're ferocious as a warrior. And Omar Lee, and he said to me, "Wow, how did you guess my name? That everyone always calls me an Aryeh. Everyone always calls me a ferocious warrior. Because that was my nickname. Meaning my real name is Yochanan Rabbi Yonasan, but they always called me the Aryeh de Mikvar Shichya. They always called me the lion. That was my whatever. I was the captain of my football team. They would always call me that. That was my nickname. So the Yamim Chala Umeis. A short while later, that man got sick and he died. So this is this fellow saying, you want to know how I know that this man died? Because this is my experience with him. I was traveling with this stranger. He chased away this whole group. He identified himself as by his name, and then he died. And I saw it. So he used to Rabbi Tarfon's sister. That was good enough for Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon allowed the woman to get remarried. So frankly, Rabbi Tarfon didn't require any further questioning. No drisha b'chakira. Vatanya, but don't we have another brisa that tells us the Rabbi Tarfon was not matir without drisha v'chakira? The ma'aseh by the mechashav of Rabbi Tarfon lehei eidus isha, and Amar lo, Rabbi Tarfon said to the fellow, "Bini heichata yodei eiduzu? How do you know this eidus?" So Amar lo, the eid said, "Ani v'hu ayinu holchem b'derech. I and he were traveling together. V'radav acharenu guys, and we were being chased by soldiers. V'nitlo biyuchor te'ina, and he grabbed a branch of a te'ina tree." It's interesting that over here some of the details of the story change. It sounds like the same story, but instead of an olive tree, now it's a te'ina tree. It's a tree. He pulled it off of the tree. The he chased these soldiers away from us. I said, "Wow, Yashakayach Arye." So I'm really Yafa Kivanta Lashmi, and he said to me, "You were mechabing to my name." Shekach Koronos Ibiiri Yochan Ben Yonasan Arye de Mekvar Shichya Liyamim Chala Umeis. And then a short while later, he got sick and he died. So I'm really Lokach Amartili. So Rabbi Tarfon wanted to trip him up to see if he could ask any further questions, to see if he could see whether this fellow was telling the truth. So he said to him, "Didn't you tell me that Yochanan ben Yonasan de Mekvar Shechiaryeh, that his Aryeh was part of the name of the village that he was from and not part of his own nickname? He was from a place called Kfar Shechya Aryeh." So and that was not what the fellow had said to him. He wanted to see if the fellow would remember his original story, because when you tell a lie, sometimes you don't remember all your lies. So Amalot, the guy said, "Lo, elakachamarti lach, Yonachan ben Yonasan Aryeh de Mekfar Shechya." "No, I said that his nickname was Aryeh, and he was from Kfar Shechya, but Aryeh was not part of the name of the village." V'tiktik l'avshayim shal shapam. So he asked him two or three other things, details of the story. V'kivin estavarav, and only when he was kivin estavarav, only when he proved to really know what he was talking about, then v'heser Rabbi Tarfon nezishto. Then Rabbi Tarfon allowed the wife to get remarried. So don't you see that Rabbi Tarfon required a drisha v'chakira, did not just take a person at his word? So we have a stira between the two versions of what seemed to be the same maisa, one where Rabbi Tarfon did not require drisha v'chakira, and the other where he did require drisha v'chakira. Says the Gemara Tanoi, it's a machlokas Tanoim whether you need drisha v'chakira and edus to allow a woman to get remarried. And these two brises disagree what Rabbi Tarfon held. Where do I see that it's machlokas tanaim? D'tanya, there's another brise that tells us ein botkin edei noshim bedrisha v'chakira. We do not check them out with drisha v'chakira. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's what Rabbi Akiva holds. Tos Yishanim raises the question: how could you not at least ask what day the story was? That's part of the edels. So he answers in the name of the Kadosh, as what Bala Tosfos named the Kadosh, that even without saying when the story happened, it's a full edels, because they're saying that they saw it. You only need to know when it was to make it an edels that it's Efshar La'azim, to make them Edim Zomim. But that's only by Dinei Nefashos. They have to be Edus Shatiyach La'azima. Over here, you don't need Edus Shatiyach La'azima, so you don't need to get the exact date that they saw it. As long as they certify that they saw it, that's good enough. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Botkin. Rabbi Tarfon says, according to this version of Rabbi Tarfon, that they do ask Drisha V'Chakira questions. They're arguing about Rabbi Chanina. That on a daraisa level, both dinei mamonos and dinei nefashos require drisha v'chakira. Shenemar mishpat echad yelchem, because the pasuk says mishpat echad yelchem. That both dinei mamonos and dinei nefashos are treated with the same level of severity. Why is it that we do not require drisha v'chakira by dinei mamonos and dinei nefashos? That by dinei mamonos specifically, you don't need drisha v'chakira, because we don't want to discourage people from lending money, and if it's always, you're always going to give their edim a hard time, they're never going to be able to collect their money, and then they're never going to want to lend money. And we want to create a society of chesed where people lend money to those in need. So in order to encourage people to lend money, we have to make it as easy as possible to get repaid. So here also, the Chamram or Mekil to not require Drisha V'Chakira. So that's what they're arguing about over here when it comes to Edus Isha. That it must be that Rabbi Kiva holds that since part of saying that a husband is dead is that the woman gets a Dinei Mamonos, she gets to collect her Ksuba, so it's like Dinei Mamonos, you don't need Drisha V'Chakira. Whereas the other one says, no, you're being Matir Neshes Ish, that's not Dinei Mamonos. That's Dinei Nefashos. You take a Neshes Ish and allow her to get remarried. And Dinei Nefashos required Drisha V'Chakira. So long story short, Rabbi Chanina holds that on a Daraisa level, both Dinei Mamonos and Dinei Nefashos require Drisha V'Chakira. But practically, Dinei Mamonos does not need Drisha V'Chakira. So the Machlokas Tanoim, whether Edus Isha requires Drisha V'Chakira, is a Machlokas, whether this is treated as Dinei Mamonos, because there's a Ksuba involved, and therefore no Drisha V'Chakira, or is treated as Dinei Nefashos, because there's Neshes Ish involved, and therefore, yes, Drisha V'Chakira. So that's the Machlokas. Those are the two versions of Rabbi Tarfon. And now the Gemara concludes with some Divrei Agada. Amar Blazar Rabbi Chanina, Talmidei Chachamim Rabim Shalom Ba'olam, Talmidei Chachamim enhance Shalom in the world, Shenemar V'chol Benayich Umudei Hashem Rav Shalom Banayich. And some versions it's Altigre Banayich, Ala Banayich, whatever, but over here it doesn't have that version. This line, to conclude a Masechta appears in four Masechtas in Shas, in Masechas Brachos, Nazir, Yevamos, and Krisos. Rashi Tevos, Banayich. Brachos, Nazir, Yevamos, and Krisos. The Marsha explains that they each have a reason why it concludes with this Memra. It's not just Stam and Dvar Agada, because in Brachos, for example, there are Divrei Agada prior to that. So if you wanted to end with a Dvar Agada, you didn't need this. So he says over here the reason is because they were Mekel to be Matir and Eshes Ish without Drisha V'Chakira, even though Min HaTorah you need Drisha V'Chakira for such an Eidos. So it's coming to say that the Rabbanon have the capacity to be Oker Davar Min HaTorah. It's because of the Midas HaShalom that they're making, not to leave a woman as naguna. That's part of their being marbe shalom biolam. This very halacha that we closed with is an example of Talmidei Chacham in being marbe shalom biolam, that they try to create a sense of shalom in society by through heteragunos and trusting in Eid Echad without Drisha V'Chakira about Eidos Isha. So Adron Lach Isha Basra Slikol Maseches Yevamos, Mazel everybody, and Bezhashem I'll see you tomorrow with Maseches Ksuvos Daf Beis. Mazel everyone. Yashkoch, thank you for coming.